So here's to all of the good thinkers.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken. I'm your host, Jason Spies. In our next segment, Bakken Natural Gas, we talk with John Gibson, retired executive chairman for One Oak, Patrick Hughes, CEO of North Dakota LNG, and Tom Petrie, chairman of Petrie & Partners. This interview is brought to you by Montana's original rig mat company, Montana Rig Mat. Better mats, better prices. For more information on Montana Rig Mat, visit their website at www.mtrigmat.com. This is Patrick Hughes.
So here's to watching the clocks of our grandfathers, and here's to stopping and picking flowers, and here's to not letting this moment pass you by.
Technology.
Yeah.
Are you guys advancing technology? Where does technology play in your particular business? Sensors, UAVs, anything along those
lines?
Well,
I think that, so I come from a technology background. My part of my chronic entrepreneurialism, I own a brokerage firm in Minneapolis that's based on technology. When I started looking at North Dakota, I thought there was a wonderful opportunity to integrate technology into lots of different things, which helps solve a data problem. I think when you look at the logistics necessary to make things operate in North Dakota, more information's better. We're using state-of-the-art technology across all of our businesses, and LNG is no different.
You mentioned data. I've been hearing big data's coming to North Dakota. Does that mean anything to you?
Well, I think that, like I said before, I think there's a wonderful opportunity to integrate the use of more digital instruments that'll create data strings that will be very valuable to a lot of different people across the basin.
Ag and energy. Since probably ethanol, maybe even before then, there's started to be a coexistence or a co-mingling. Mm-hmm. These natural gas plants are starting to feed and some other ag-type products. What are your thoughts on the coexistence or the merger of ag and energy together, whether it's from distribution or from natural gas or whatever?
I think it's huge. I think Governor Dalrymple says it best, that value-added agriculture is a big part of the North Dakota's past, and it's a big part of today, and it'll be a big part of tomorrow. And I think when you look at what's going on in the Bakken, the idea of using value-added natural gas products inside the ag business and to complement the ag business I think there's a remarkable opportunity. I think it's important to the viability of both businesses, and I think the sky's the limit.
In December 2013, we went on record on both this program and in the Bismarck Tribune and said 2014 is the year of natural gas. What do you think?
I think you were right.
I don't know. I think the rail might be on its heels, but rail's been getting a lot of press.
Rail's getting a lot of press, but I think that that what's happening with natural gas is exciting, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity for growth.
Lynn Helms said, wait till the second half of the year. You're going to see some incredible advancements in natural gas, and he referred to your plant coming online as one of them.
Yeah, well, that's great. Lynn's been a wonderful supporter, and we thank him for everything that they've done. So thanks a lot, Jason.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
And that was Patrick Hughes, the CEO of North Dakota LNG and Prairie Companies. Next, John Gibson, retired executive chairman for One Oak.
John Gibson, One Oak Inc. and One Oak Partners.
Announcement of a sixth plant here in North Dakota. $3.4 billion I have down in my notes. If maybe you could elaborate on those two numbers I just recited.
Right. We just announced this latest plant, which will be a 200 million a day cubic foot plant. And once we have completed building that plant and the infrastructure associated with it, we will have invested $3.1 to $3.5 billion in North Dakota.
This natural gas, it's starting to become a little bit more known as the natural gas gets more and more play, that this is a rich liquid natural gas, and that's quite a bit different than the dry gas. Do you guys have an elevator pitch to where you can let someone know the difference between that, or is it a fairly complicated answer that we need a chemist in here for?
Well, I don't think you need to review your chemistry, but the way to think about it is that in a cubic foot of natural gas produced in the Williston Basin, you will find somewhere around 8 to 12 gallons of raw natural gas liquids. That's ethane, propane, butanes, all mixed up. If you go down into Oklahoma or Texas in the panhandle, you might, that same cubic foot will have, say, 3 gallons per MCF. So as you can tell by just the comparison of the two numbers, there's a whole lot of liquids in the natural gas in the Williston. And, of course, that's what is attractive to us, is because we also are a natural gas liquids business.
$30 billion investment in the petrochemical industry happening right now in the United States. Where do you see that heading in terms of the transportation industry, the residential industry? Just where do you see natural gas heading over the next decade here in the United States?
Well, first on the investment in the petrochemicals, that's what's driving our interest in the natural gas liquids business. And our natural gas liquids business allows us to gather these raw NGLs all the way up in the Williston and redeliver those finished products to the petchems. So we're one of the largest suppliers of feedstock to the petchems. So seeing them invest those large amounts of money is a good signal for us. The natural gas, this whole natural gas shale play has changed the country's view of natural gas as a sustainable, reliable energy source, and really changed the entire dynamic of the United States. In particular, when you figure a lot of this, if not all of this, in the Williston is being driven by crude oil, which is also going to change the entire industry structure as it relates to crude oil.
Without getting political, and this is not the question to be political, I just wanted to get your comments a little bit on the importing and exporting part of the natural gas. Some of the reading I was doing, it becomes a heavily debated topic, but it is a global economy. So an overall comment on the importing, exporting when it comes to natural gas.
Well, like other products that, for example, propane, we export propane as a country. And because there's a market, there's a need. So the same should be true for natural gas, as well as any other energy product, or for that matter, any product that the U.S. producer can compete in.
Anticipating, when is this coming online?
The plan will be completed at the end of 2015.
Thank you much, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And that was John Gibson, retired executive chairman for One Oak. Next, Tom Petrie of Petrie Partners.
These new facilities, I suspect, are less expensive. You know, LNG, there's two technologies. It's a spectrum. It's not a, you know, people like to say, well, yeah, you get a gas down to minus 270 degrees or so Fahrenheit in order to get a 600, the volume reduction is 600-fold. That's for full LNG. But they also have compressed natural gas and what they call LNG light, where you get it down to a minus 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And for local needs, that is less expensive because it takes less energy to create those conditions. And it's very useful. It's a sort of a super compressed natural gas. And it has good utility in transportation and elsewhere. And one of the great things about gas is, remember, there's little or no mercury in gas. In fact, almost everything I've ever seen, there's no mercury in gas. And so gas, that's why gas has made big inroads in the last few years in displacing coal. Because, we talk about coal, the coal has SOx and NOx, both sulfur and nitrogen oxides, and it also has mercury. And that gets out there in the air and then into the water and then into the fish and then into us. We all carry some mercury around if we eat any fish.
You're talking about CNG then, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
That's right. LNG light and CNG, I think, are interchangeable. That's the way I think of it.
Yeah, right. And who was it that was proposing that? Do we know?
I saw it in one of the papers. Okay. Yeah, it's in the Bakken paper, I think.
But, you know, do you think that sounds, as an alternative to flaring or even, that's the gas capture solution?
That's right. If you go to GE's website and you type in LNG, they're developing some modular LNG products where you can buy, and they're smaller, but wherever you got a gas surplus and you've got candidates to use it, like big railroads, it could work. Now, we're in the early stages of the railroads testing LNG as a product for their engines, but they're under a lot of pressure because they've got to run ultra-low sulfur diesel.
And that was Tom Petrie of Petrie Partners. To listen to full-length interviews with either John Gibson, Patrick Hughes, or Tom Petrie, visit our website, buildingthebakken.com, or for past features, log on to our website. This feature is brought to you by Montana Rig Mat, Montana's original rig mat company. Better mats, better prices. Contact Montana Rig Mats today. Visit their website at www.mtrigmat.com. That's www.mtrigmat.com.
And here's to carrying the weight of the world. And here's to screaming, yeah, never being heard. And here's to not letting this moment pass.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBI Energy Services.com.